Good evening to each one of you, and it is good to be back together again. Ponder the things of the Lord and the challenges that Brother Keith already gave us on having the understanding that love for our brother and sister is homogenized with love for God. So true, and I don't know why we would think that we could separate those two things, but we try to play mental games like that sometimes. But if we truly love God, we will love love the people around us, I believe. That is true. Keeping the vision of outreach alive is the title that I plan to use for the message here. And this isn't so much of getting the idea started for you to start another church, so much as keeping the fire in our own hearts to reach out to the many around us that need Jesus. Why does the vision of outreach need revival? Well, outreach is hard work. It's hard work. Requires a lot of sacrifice and many times disappointments. But it's also very rewarding, tremendously rewarding. And the secret of the gospel that we hold in our hands is that it spreads and grows. It's a seed, like a seed of corn, that if it's planted in soil that is prepared for it, that it will take root and bring forth abundant fruit. That's what it promises us, and we have seen it. Kingdom of heaven is also like yeast. Matthew 13:33, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. It just spreads throughout that meal and infiltrates every corner of it. It has this amazing ability, and we stand in awe of the kingdom of heaven and how it grows and spreads and brings forth fruit. And sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes our eyes glaze over and we just become, it's life as usual, and we don't think about what an amazing gift we have within our breast and within our hands and in our communities and in our churches. And don't share it. As I thought about this sermon, my thoughts went from one story to another, and I hope I don't have too many stories this evening. But when you think of outreach, every year, stories come to your mind, people come to your mind. I want to start with a lady who came to our church in 2018 for the first time. Her name was Lindsay. Showed up Sunday morning, none of us knew her. Showed up in a smart car, I believe, and my father thought it was one of the employees from the sawmill, and he went to welcome the man to come in, and here it was not him. He had a similar car. It was this lady that none of us knew. And she came in and was there for that church service and began to attend regularly. And over time, we learned to know her. She was a divorced lesbian lady that had moved into the area and bought a little farmette because she liked animals. And she traveled about 2 hours away for her job as an animal control officer. Very sad story. But she had been in town and had seen some ladies that made her curious, and she went home to her computer and began to search what these folks were and discovered they were Mennonites and came upon the Pilgrim Ministry website and found out there was a church about 4 miles from her house. And she finally got up the courage to come visit it. And the sisters began to be friends with her, began to disciple her. And as time went by, her spiritual interest grew, and she came to the point where she wanted to become a member with us. And we took her through instruction class. We saw obvious fruits of repentance and a new life in her. So much changed about her from what she had been to what she was. She gave up her well-paying job and took a job working for a veterinarian. And the immorality left her life. Smoking, alcohol were left behind. And she seemed to be quite stable in her Christian life. And about 4 to 5 years went by, and we noticed that something was changing and inquired about it. And she said, well, I was lonely, and a divorced man that I knew from years ago has pursued a relationship with me, and that's what I've decided I want to do. And it's kind of a sad ending to a lot of effort, prayer, and discipleship. And you leave, you watch that you watch the relationship that so much was put into crumble, and the person walk out of your life and in pursuit of an ungodly relationship that she was quite frank that she knew it would cost her relationship with her church, but that's what she wanted to do for now. Outreach is hard. I think of outreach, I think about another man by the name of Charlie Lovell, a man that my family has known for probably 30 years. And as the years went by, he was a Vietnam veteran, had a lot of difficulties in his life, but would always circle back to my family for help, especially my older brother Leo. And a number of years ago, he became more and more serious about making his home with us as a church. And we slowly went through a discipleship class with him, took turns, different brothers at the church, and we would have weekly Bible studies with him. And a lot of time was spent with Charlie. And it seemed to be as stable spiritually and mentally as he has been for quite a while. And we got to the point, we were at the point where there really wasn't much more to do except to take him in as a member. And one of the brothers that knew him really well said, you need to ask him that he would be willing for someone, for to be accountable to someone with his phone. And so that's what we asked him. And he thought about it. He came back to us. He said, I'm not willing for anyone to be between me and God. And wasn't long after that he decided to move to Columbia because his pension would reach farther there. I believe he had been 40 years sober. When he came out of the Vietnam War, he became a raging alcoholic. The one winter, he lived homelessly in a tree, and in a hollow tree. He was in that bad of shape, but he had gone to AA and became sober, and I believe it was 40 years he was celebrating. Anyway, he decided to move to Columbia where his money would reach further, and got taken by nefarious people down there, and they swindled his money away, and he lost his sobriety, and got caught up with alcohol and drugs and spiraled downhill. And bad way. Keeping the vision of outreach alive, you pour effort into people and see promising fruit, and then it seems like it all gets thrown away. And what do you know? But a couple weeks ago, Charlie showed back up from Colombia. I don't know how he got a plane ticket back, but he's back around again, but does not seem to have regained any spiritual interest. Outreach relationships that end up with disappointments. And so sometimes we need encourage to reach out again. But not all stories end in disappointments. Probably none of you, or very few of you, know Brother Phil George from Altoona. It's a man from the community there that had been a member in there for quite a few years, just passed on to his eternal reward and was faithful unto his death, encouraging older man that that sought out a relationship with God and was faithful for quite a few years. Beautiful story of his life. I thought of Brother Mike Shea, who again is a man whose life is changed by the gospel. One that was involved with drugs and difficult life, but is now a stable brother in the church. If you come to visit our church, I'm sure you will meet dear brother Harry, who in his younger years was, again, a raging alcoholic, wicked man. And he will give his testimony from time to time, wants to share it so that people know that that way of life ends so destructively, and loves to tell the story of how a man from a church in the community sought him out and shared the gospel with him and began to take him to church. And as the years went by, he ended up living beside one of the families at our church, and they started to bring him along to our church. And a couple years went by, and he decided that he wanted to become a member with us. And the Sunday that we were going to sit down and begin that process, he almost died on us. He was sitting up close to the front of the church and began to feel sick or feel bad and attempted to get up and get out of church and collapsed on the way back. And we ended up having to call the ambulance to take him to the hospital. And he had a pacemaker put in. During that time, had a mild stroke. And he's a simple-minded brother. And he concluded that God knew he wasn't ready to become a member. And that's why he had that episode there at church. And we tried to explain to him that no, we're sure that that's not why that happened. That's the wrong thing to be taking from your medical problem. But in his simple-mindedness, he had come to that conclusion. And so about a year went by until he was ready to take it up again. But he followed through, even though he has never been, how should I say it? He was never, I don't want to hardly use the word intelligent enough, but that's probably the word I need to use, to ever get his driver's license. He has a simple trust in God that is so inspiring and warms your heart in how, in his simple-minded way, has figured out how he should serve his brothers and sisters. And so if you come on a morning that we have a fellowship meal, As soon as the fellowship meal is over, Brother Harry is going around collecting the trash and sweeping the floor and putting the tables and chairs away because he has an obligation to serve his brothers and sisters. And no one ever told him this except God placed it in his heart. And is such a blessing in our community. Keeping the vision of outreach alive. Is something wrong if the heart of outreach disappears from a church? I think that's an important question to ponder. Is there something wrong if the heart of outreach disappears from a church? Is there something wrong if the willingness and desire disappears from me personally? Turn with me to Matthew 10. What is the basis for reaching out to others? I think the basis is taught in this little passage where Jesus sent out his disciples in Matthew 10. I'd like to read to verse 16, I believe. Matthew 10, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus. His surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, neither hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'll stop reading there. I think the secret is in verse 8. Freely ye have received, freely give. Freely ye have received, freely give. I think this is the basis of Christian outreach. We have received so much through the gospel of Jesus Christ that it places this demand on our life that we must freely give to others. Reach out and spread this message. Reach out and share this gospel. Second Peter tells us that we aren't going to be fruit bearing if we have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. And so if you have a memory of what God has done for you, it demands us that we freely share it to others, because it has been freely given to us. And when you've received this gift, what am I to do with this gift? Well, part of the requirements of this gift is that we give it to others. You know, there was a man that Jesus told a story about that was given a talent. And instead of putting it to good use, he buried it. And when his Lord returned and brought him into account, he was angry with him. And he said, well, I knew you were a hard man, and you gathered where you had and strawed, and so I went and buried my talent. And he said, you should have at least put it to usury so I could have gained interest on it. Well, could we be burying the talent? Burying the kingdom of heaven, consuming it upon ourselves and not giving it to others. The gift of being a child of God and his blessing on our life must move us into passing this gift on to all who would receive it. We have the pearl of great price, and perhaps we can find another person that wants its value as well. One of our families recently moved into a new neighborhood, and they invited a few of their new neighbors to their house this past Sunday evening and asked some of us from church to come help them sing. So we went there, gathered in their living room with their new neighbors, and began to sing some Christmas songs. It wasn't that far. It wasn't that long since Christmas time, and so we sang some Christmas carols and a couple other songs, and it wasn't long before one of these people said, "Could we come visit your church?" And we said, "Of course. Come visit our church." Simple outreach. Inviting some neighbors into your house and singing to them. And by doing that, placed a desire in this dear old lady to come visit our church. What is in my heart is overflowing into others' hearts. That is a simple reality of Christian living. A heart that is overflowing with what God has done for you, and you want it to spill out into others as well. We have been given so much, we should be freely giving. Reaching out shows people that we love them. We have a widow that we get together and cut her firewood every year for her. There's a story behind that. The story behind that is that her husband was an employee, a truck driver for my brothers for many years. And he began to feel sick and discovered that he was full of cancer. And he called up my brother, Llewellyn, and said, "How do I get right with God?" And Llewellyn began to explain the simple story of salvation. And he said he wanted that. And he wanted to be baptized. So we gathered there in his house trailer on a Friday evening, I believe it was. And he was a big man, strong man, huge hawk of a man. And he came out to the kitchen table, and he was on oxygen. And we began to talk to him about this, and he said, "You know," he said, "all my life, when I come up against something that was hard," he said, "I just pushed against it harder." Because he was strong, he could overcome difficult things. But he said, "I can't overcome this." And it's a beautiful little time we had with him there, and baptized him. It was Friday evening, I believe. Sunday morning, he was gone to his eternal reward. And so every year, we get together and we cut firewood for his widow. And we pray that the same desire that he had would spring up in her heart. But even if it never does, we'll keep cutting firewood for Miss Judy Alexander, because the Bible says that we're to visit the widows and the fatherless. Have you ever thought about that you're the product of someone else's outreach? Somewhere, maybe it's this generation, maybe it's 10 generations ago. Somewhere in my past, some follower of Jesus shared the gospel with a pagan European. I don't know who it was, but I know it had to have happened, because my family ancestry takes me back to Europe, and they were a pagan and barbaric people. So I'm the product of some dear disciple of Jesus' outreach. Shared the gospel with someone in my family's history. You are too. Someone somewhere told someone the story of Jesus. And that seed took root in their life and has continued to spread ever since then. And I'm forever grateful that there was someone that reached out. And I'm a recipient of that. And I think about that a lot, that how blessed I am, how I've been surrounded by spiritual mentors in my life, and have been taught so much, and how accountable that makes me. And that happening in Europe is many generations ago. I don't know, 10 or more. But even in recent years, where I live is a result of outreach. My grandpa had a burden to spread the gospel and began traveling to the area close to where I live and eventually moved there in the early 70s. And that's what brought us to the area close to where I live, was because my grandpa wanted to share Jesus with the people that lived there. I believe outreach is a mindset. It's a way of looking at people. It's a way of perceiving that there's a person that needs Jesus, and there's a person that has potential to become my brother and sister. And there is a valuable asset to the kingdom of heaven if they would embrace the gospel. Therefore, I'm going to freely share what has been given to me because they need it as well as I do. They need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. But there are reasons we can lose heart for outreach. There are reasons we can lose heart for outreach. One of the reasons is because we're selfish. Outreach pays nothing and takes a lot of time and energy. And when we've extended ourselves over and over and no spark of spiritual interest ignites, we get tired of it. You know, I may as well be sitting in front of my fire with my family and a good book than trying to reach out to someone that shows no interest in the gospel. And so we have a tendency to be selfish and, well, what's this whole thing about anyway? You know, the little saying, me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four, no more. Good enough for me. Stephanie is a lady such as that, that makes you get tired of outreach. Her grandfather, James Pipes, went to jail, and many years ago, ended up in jail down in Kentucky, and in jail became a Christian. And after a while, he met some Nationwide Fellowship men who came to that jail for jail service, and began to appreciate these men very much. And I think, if my memory's correct, he became a member in their church while still in jail, if I'm not mistaken. He was then transferred to Virginia, Southern Virginia, and released, and is a member of a fellowship church in Southern Virginia. I don't remember the name of it. One day I get a call from him. His name is James Pipes. I have family in your community, a granddaughter and a daughter, and they need Jesus. And would you be willing to talk to them if they would call you? Well, sure. And so we learned to know Stephanie Puffenberger and her mother, Rebecca, and very needy people. But they, spiritual interest hasn't gotten very far. But she seems to know when we have fellowship meal and shows up to get food, and when they're running tight on funds, she likes to reach out for help for that. And guess what? After a while, you get really tired of outreach. And your heart becomes hardened. You become hard-hearted towards situations like that, which is unchristlike. Secondly, sometimes we lose heart for outreach because we feel like we've been betrayed. We give so much into the relationship, and then the person turns their back and walks away as though none of it mattered. And we feel burned by the relationship and say to ourselves, I'm not going to risk trying that again. And so we can lose heart for outreach that way. The third reason is very dangerous. Sometimes we begin to think that the seed no longer has the kernel of life in it. Why, when you lead people to the scriptures, that it doesn't bear fruit in their life? And I say it's dangerous because that thought is the beginning of us losing faith ourselves. And so if you've had those thoughts, I would point you to the parable of the sower who sowed seed and it fell in different soils. Some soil, the birds ate the seed before it took root. On other soil, it was thin and rocky, and though it sprouted, when the sun came out, it wilted and died. But then there was good soil, and in that soil, it took root and bore much fruit. I think it's important to remember when we're reaching out to others that different soil affects how the gospel will be received. If someone senses no need in their life, the gospel will not seem very appealing to them. And so if we're reaching out to those who don't sense their need for Jesus in their life, the gospel can't take root in their life either. Are there things that can be done to improve our outreach? You know, that was one of the things with Lindsay that left us for a romantic relationship with a divorced man. I could not offer her that solution. Are there things that can be done to improve our outreach? We can't offer them ungodly solutions to problems that they have. And so that is not a way to improve our outreach. But I do believe a lot of it has to do with us on improving our outreach. And the first point I have here is so very basic, but it's be friendly and a friend. Become their family. Many of them have little to no family and friends, and that was part of Lindsay's problem. She was lonely, and yet there was much effort that had been to extend and be her family. But many of us don't think about how lonely some of these people are because either they don't have much family or what they have is extremely dysfunctional. And so become their family for them. At Thanksgiving and Christmas, make sure they have a place to be or invite them along with you. Brother Harry has been a part of our Christmas gatherings for many years, and it's important that we be that for these people. Secondly, be welcoming. Sometimes these visitors have tattoos or strange color hair or odd clothes. Be welcoming. Teach your children not to stare and to be respectful to folk that are different. Sometimes they have a different accent, things that are amusing to us. Be welcoming. Thirdly, nurture compassion for others. I can find myself becoming hard-hearted to people's needs, especially people who don't seem to be doing what they could to improve their situation. And time again, I need the Holy Spirit to give me a heart of compassion for others. One time I was at a gas station and a needy person asked for help to buy gas, and my heart was hard toward their request. And later I was telling this story to a brother, and he said, "Keith, it was only $100. I'm like, "You're right. It was only a little money." Like, why did my heart harden towards this simple needy person's request when it was only, wasn't even $100. It might have been $50. Will I let $100 keep me from eternal life? Jesus said to the rich man, "Go sell that what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure, and come and follow me." And the man went away sorrowful. How many times have I spurned opportunities to show the love of Christ because it costs too much? Fourthly, build trust with them. Let them learn to know you. Open your life up and be vulnerable to seekers. Invite them into your homes. What do we have to hide anyway? They may not be trustful people, and it may take them time to learn to trust you. Fifthly, be patient with them. A life of dysfunction doesn't disappear overnight. Remember how patient God has been with you and extend that patience to them. It's okay if it is round number 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 that they're showing back up at church again. They are exposing themselves to the truth of God's word. Maybe more will take root this time. Perhaps you've heard of this old story of the old man walking the beach after the storm, and it was littered with starfish. He came upon a young boy, throwing starfish back into the ocean. The old man says, "Why are you bothering to throw the starfish back into the water? The beach is miles long, and there's thousands of starfish on the beach." And the young boy says, "The tide's going out, and the starfish will die if they're left on the sand." He reaches down, picks up another one, and throws it back into the ocean, said it made a difference to that one. We can't save the world. That is what Jesus can do. But we can make a difference in our communities, one person at a time. Our children, our neighbors, our co-workers, the person that calls us in need, we can make a difference in them, in their lives, one person at a time. About 2 years ago, a young man by the name of Morgan, who works again for my brother Llewellyn, the one that had the truck driver that died from cancer, this time it's a young man by the name of Morgan, he came to my brother and he said, "I have a problem. Every night I'm having horrible nightmares of demons coming after me. What can I do with this problem?" And Llewellyn said, "Well, I think you should start coming to church. And not just one time, come for about 6 months. See if something doesn't change." And so he began to come to church. And he brought his wife with him, young couple in their early 20s, both from very broken homes, both from alcoholic homes. And they were both alcoholics themselves. Since they started coming to church, they have both quit drinking. And they've healed their marriage. It was on the rocks through infidelity, but they worked through repentance and forgiveness. We had an instruction class going, and we invited them to join in for their own Bible study. And they've become like children to my brother and his wife as they're nurtured on their walk with God. So many slow but beautiful changes in their life since they started coming to church. They're not members yet, but we pray that God would nurture them into our body. The gospel message has saved their lives from the destruction that both of them grew up in. What an amazing thing. Here is a young man and a young lady who both came from broken situations. And because of the gospel being ministered into their lives, their marriage that was on the rocks has been healed. Their addictions have been broken. They have developed new and good friendships. They are now expecting their first child, and there is so much hope in front of them. Why throw the starfish back into the water? It made a difference for this couple. And isn't that worth it? Isn't that worth it?